Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, my friend, and welcome to the 507th episode of the Sales Podcast. I'm Wes Schaefer, the Sales Whisperer, your host. Roy says, Jeff, you and Michael and Tim might see this voluntary loss of privacy as a very self-evident thing. And I think you guys are probably correct. But that's not something I had really considered. What I think we can expect to see happen is that the general public will try to purge the system of corrupt politicians. We've seen too much self-serving among our politicians, and a we generation just won't stand for it. The recent Blagojevich conviction was the tip of the iceberg. And then came Anthony Weiner with his sexting scandal, and then Newt Gingrich got a big surprise when he took the goodwill of the public and his campaign staff for granted. I believe in the second half of this upswing into we're going to elect political candidates who lift brooms during their speeches and promise, I'm going to clean up Washington. Jeff says, I'm seeing the opposite. Andrew Sullivan has been writing, so when did we become Rome? When did we go into decline? Sullivan would say that what you're currently seeing is apathy, and his prediction is that this apathy will continue. I think I might agree with him. So that is an excerpt from the 2012 book Pendulum by Roy H. Williams and Michael R. Drew. I know these characters. So the subtitle, Pendulum, How Past Generations Shape Our Present and Predict Our Future. I've known Roy since probably 2002, maybe a little bit earlier, somewhere around there. And Michael as well. And this book, I've been referencing since it came out. I bought it brand new in hardback. And, you know, you look at this and you think, so they were, you know, this was published in 2012. You know, they're researching it and writing it. Who knows? 2010 into 2011. So, you know, so looking back, this is easily a decade old when they were putting this together. And Roy has quoted some of his writings going back to 2003. So he's been looking at this topic, this subject, for decades. And so it's interesting now to pull things out and see how accurate they were, especially when the goal was to try to predict the future with this book. So Roy is the wizard of ads. Been around a long time. I've got all of his books, and I've got some rare ones. You can't get anymore. I head out there to Buda, South Austin. I used to go a couple times a year and just with business and life and everything else. Haven't been as recently as often, but I still get back there. So this book, you think back, he's putting these ideas together, 2010, 2011, talking about, you know, we're going to clean up Washington. Sounds kind of like we're going to drain the swamp, doesn't it? In 2016. So Jeff Eisenberg, I also know him and his brother Brian, both are also New York Times and Wall Street Journal best-selling authors, smart marketers, consultants. So that's who is disagreeing, Jeffrey Eisenberg. You know, he's seeing the apathy. And it's interesting because both of these are kind of right. Roy was right, and I'll get into the we versus me. This pendulum, that's what he's talking about. And so the concept is, and he's done a good job, I think, validating it, is that every 80 years, we're back to the same point that we were. So basically every 40 years, we're at an extreme opposite, a polar opposite. And an easy demarcation is to look back. He goes back to 1943, We call it, you know, the greatest generation, we call it, right? We call it the peak, the zenith of the we generation. So 1963, so we're 20 years removed. So we're at the midway point going from the peak of a we to the peak of a me. Then we advance to the zenith of 1983, the peak of the me generation. Swing it back down, 2003, we're back. Basically, 2003 was 1963 all over again, but swinging in the opposite direction. The momentum was carrying us to 2023, another peak of the we generation. Basically, 1943 all over again. So we're going to take some time and break this down, but it's interesting, and I cover this in my private consulting. I talk about it when it's brought up, when it's appropriate, just in marketing concepts, some key principles to understand. And, you know, the news, I want to say bad news, but the reality is if you know what's coming, it's not really bad news. You can prepare, even though it's, you know, you got a hurricane coming. Well, is it bad news? Yeah. But I mean, if you know it's coming, you can prepare, right? Board up the house, get some water, get your generator. Okay. You got to rebuild, blah, blah, blah. But you don't die. And who knows? Maybe you make some investments and you capitalize on it. But I digress. But the point is, you know, we're in tumultuous times. You know, we're a couple of years away from that peak. And so even, you know, when the surge of a hurricane stops surging, you're still flooded, right? It's got to retreat. It's got to go back to where it was, go back to the ocean. So the surge is coming. And so it's not like things are over and get better once it peaks. It still has to recede. So it's a multi-year period. Each of these episodes, these zeniths, are multi-year events because you're reaching up, approaching the point, the peak. You achieve it, then you're slowly receding. So, you know, the things I'm going to talk about, you know, the ideas are going to give you the goals to give you some ideas on how to handle the current time, you know, in the very short term, the next 6, 12, you know, 24 months. And then, you know, into 2025, 2026, then things start easing up, but you gotta survive the onslaught, okay? So I'm going to pull out certain excerpts. I'm going to leave some meat on the bone, have you go get the book. If you don't have time to get the book, you just want the Cliff's Notes, call me. We can do a little consulting. I'll help you shorten the learning curve and apply the lessons here, so you can grow your sales. All right. So that's what we're going to get into. So hold on to your britches. So the part I just read is from towards the end of the book. And the section is called "A Catholic, a Mormon, a Jew, and an Evangelical sat down at a table together and dot, dot, dot." So this was from July 1st, 2011. So it's when Roy got a few folks together, they had dinner, turned the recorder on, and they started talking about the book. They start talking about, you know, making some predictions about what they saw heading our way. And I'll come back to that in a little bit. But I opened with some pretty good predictions, I think, that they made to hopefully pique your interest, to at least open your mind and consider this. Because Roy and Michael based this book on the research from another book some guys wrote about 40 years earlier called Generations. And they did a very detailed study. And Roy went back, I mean, literally 1,000 or more years. And he also considered, he looked at the Western world versus the Eastern world. And basically, we are at exact opposites, pretty much exact opposites on the spectrum. So as we are approaching the peak of a we generation, China, India countries over there are approaching the zenith of a me generation. So if you are if you're involved at all in consulting and marketing in that area, you know, in the Eastern world, look at some old books, see what people were doing in the early 80s, mid 80s, and center your marketing around those messages, and you're probably going to be seen as a superhero, make a whole lot of money, and you can build, you know, a new wing. When you build a library onto your home, you can name it after the sales whisperer because I gave you that inspiration. Okay, deal? So Roy is, I think I would call him the evangelical in that group. He is certainly Christian. He is well-versed in the good book. He is a believer. So I love the fact, you know, he, towards the beginning of the book, he opens with or includes a passage from Ecclesiastes 1, 9 to 11. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already, long ago. It was here before our time. No one remembers the former generations, and even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them. And, you know, look at clothing and hair. Some guys at my jiu-jitsu gym are wearing mullets. One of the guys I do jiu-jitsu with, black guy, dating a black girl, she is sporting the biggest afro. It's awesome. She came to the house, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, had them all over for dinner. And we were talking. She's in dance and got the bell bottoms. I mean, 70s and 80s. Well, maybe in 60s and 70s, right? I mean, just so look at clothing. Everything comes full circle. There's nothing new under the sun. So if you understand humans, you understand how irrational we are. We take a good thing too far. So it makes sense. And when you look at, you know, the time frame, people don't just change on a dime. Okay, just like, you know, trees don't change. But you look at pictures, you know, when you first moved in and 20 years later, you go back to the house, you know, you grew up in 20 and 30 years later. That little tree, you know, is a big tree. The changes happen as well. I mean, the fact that my, you know, 73-year-old dad is, you know, we're FaceTiming one another. I mean, he's got an iPad, right? I remember my father-in-law poo-pooing the idea of PayPal. And now, you know, him and my mother-in-law, I mean, my wife, they're passing money back and forth on Venmo and PayPal. So eventually the ideas take root. And then attitudes and behaviors change. So, but we're unlimited beings in a way, right? We're made in God's image. We have a touch of divinity. We have an eternal soul. But there's only so many ways we can conduct ourselves. You know, and Roy specifically, intentionally leaves out political names. It's not left and right. It's not, you know, conservative and liberal. Because the ideals, you know, I'll touch on here, they can cross party lines. So, but as humans, you know, we move from either we're more focused on society or we're more focused on ourselves. Okay. So to see how this can go back and forth in a predictable manner. And when you understand just, again, human nature, I mean, I'm 51 now. I see how my own attitudes and beliefs have changed. My body has changed, right? I can't party like I used to. Good old Toby Keith, right? I ain't as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. It's harder to recover. It's harder to build back. It's easier to get soft. So it's the ebb and flow of life. You know, the young have to come up to bring in new ideas, because the old, we get tired, our joints hurt, we want to take a nap, can't drink quite as much, the music is a little too loud, we want to maintain the status quo. The status quo won't help with the evolution, with the development of society. So to see things go from one extreme to the other, it makes sense, you know, as you start to break this down. So the book, in case you're wondering, is called Generations, The History of America's Future, 1584 to 2069, by William Strauss and Neil Howe. So, you know, that gave Roy the idea of for this book. So, you know, as he looked at it, as he beginning the building his case here in the beginning, he talks about, you know, society hungers for individuality and freedom during the upswings of a me. Nothing wrong with that. But we always take a good thing too far. What begins as a beautiful dream of self-discovery, 1963, ends as hollow, phony posing, 1983. And then, from the heady heights of those glittering disco lights, our desires drift quietly back to earth, feather-like, toward what we left behind, working together for the common good. So, yeah, you know, 1963, make love, not war, man. Right? We get into 1983. I was 13 years old. Michael Jackson, parachute pants, Beamers, yuppies, Wall Street, the movie, right, came out right around then. You know, hostile takeovers. I mean, it was the ultimate me, me, me. Get all you can. So now so 2003 was, we're going back. 2003 was basically 1963. Now we're heading up towards the peak of a we. So what does that look like? So the we is the group, the team, the tribe, the collective. He outlines the we versus me, right? But the we, and I want to focus here because that's what we are in, right? And we're going to be in for a while, because again, we're going to peak in a couple of years. We're going to recede for a couple of years. So it's going to feel basically the same for several more years. So demands conformity for the common good, applauds personal responsibility, believes a million men are wiser than one man, two heads are better than one, wants to create a better world, is about small actions, desires to be a productive member of the team, I came, I saw, I concurred, admires individual humility and is attracted to thoughtful persons, believes leadership is, this is the problem as I see it, please consider the things I am telling you, and perhaps we can solve this problem together. And strengthens a society's sense of purpose as it considers all problems. So I think there's a lot of truth in this. Obviously, nothing's going to be perfect. But when we look at, you know, demanding conformity for the common good, this whole how we reacted to COVID, right? Stay home, save lives. I mean, some facts are coming out literally as I record this that we were probably lied to on a lot of those things, but I digress. Applauds personal responsibility. This is interesting. Because on the one hand, you know, get the vaccine, wear a mask, stay home. They're putting it... It's like they're making, they want me to be responsible for you, right? But nowhere in there does it talk about, you know, at least society today, as we handle or address COVID, they don't talk about get in better shape, get some more sun, exercise, eat better, stop smoking, stop drinking, stop eating junk food. I mean, hell, the opposite is happening. They're literally bribing people with junk food and alcohol to get the jab. So, and I've written about this before. I feel like there's no personal responsibility anymore. You know, take a pill to overcome a hangover, take a pill to abort your baby. Take a pill to feel better in the morning. Take a pill to go to sleep at night. Take a pill during the day to quiet your mind. Take more pills so you can focus. I mean, I feel like there's no personal responsibility, but I digress. But the whole coming together, I mean, Wikipedia, things like that, social media, crowdsourcing, GoFundMe, you know, people are pitching in, want to create a better world. Yeah, you know, we're deep into that. Recycle, reduce your carbon footprint, you know, all those good things. It's about small actions. Yes and no, from what I'm seeing. I see people, you know, flying to Kenya to dig a well. Meanwhile, they pass, you know, 4,000 homeless people on the way to the airport. I guess it's not popular to save those people because you look them in the eye. So it looks better to show your passport as you board a plane. But, you know, so big actions, then come home and go relax at the beach, go to a, you know, listen to your sound bowls or something. I don't know. Desires to be a productive member of the team. Yep, I see a lot of that. You see it in companies now. We're a family. There's no I in team. So, you know, I think that's accurate. Admires individual humility and is attracted to thoughtful persons. Yeah, I can see that. Although, I mean, people are thought leaders and influencers. There's not too much humility there. Attracted to thoughtful persons. Like, what's a thoughtful person? Is that person who sets up 3 cameras to hand out free socks to homeless people? Is that a thoughtful person? Maybe. You know, believes in the consensus, building consensus, sense of purpose as it considers all its problems. So I see a lot of that happening, right? I see that happening right now. You know, but compare that to a me generation, just so you can see. But then, but understand that the reason we change from the zenith of either of these, we take things too far. Okay, and like it says, although society gets legalistic and judgmental during a we do accomplish a lot of good things, such as raising the flag over Iwo Jima. We let our hair down in a me and become quite a mess because of it. But this gives us a particular joy. For example, Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville. We and me, it's hard to choose between them. Right? So the we demands conformity for the common good. Me demands freedom of expression. The we applauds personal responsibility. Me applauds personal liberty. We believes a million men are wiser than one man. Me believes one man is wiser than a million men. Wants to create a better world. I came, I saw, I conquered. As I said before, the me wants to achieve a better life. I came, I saw, I conquered. We is about small actions. Me is about big dreams. We wants to be part of a productive team. Me desires to be number one. We admires humility and thoughtful persons. Me admires individual confidence and decisive persons. We believes leadership is, this is the problem as I see it, let's solve it together. Me believes leadership is, look at me, admire me, emulate me, if you can. And finally, we strengthen society's sense of purpose, focuses on solving problems. Me strengthen society's sense of identity, elevates attractive heroes. You know, we saw that with Reagan. You know, people still to this day love him. He believed in the American dream. You know, our best days are still to come. Russia, you know, the Soviet Union was the axis of evil. You know, the evil empire, tear down this wall. So, you know, as you break this down, you know, a lot to help you think. I think you'll get some clarity on what the heck's going on. And honestly, it's one of the reasons I've managed to stay.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise, and with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Calm in this chaos the last several years is because I feel like things are happening as they should, as they've been explained, as I've researched on my own. And so, you know, I got a hard rain coming. Okay, deal with it, right? Get the supplies ready. And like we say, we always take a good things too far. The beautiful we dream of working together for the common good gains momentum until it becomes duty, obligation, and sacrifice. What began in joy ends in bondage. Sir, put your mask on. Sir, your mask must be over your nose. Sir, I need you to put your mask on properly. Sir, your children, yes, I know your child is only 2 months old. Put the mask on or you will be kicked off the plane. All right? It's become bondage. Hell, my own pool, my HOA, Memorial Day, they finally opened the pool. Maximum of 40 people up to the discretion of a pool monitor, which we now have. The hours have been limited, reduced them by 4 hours a day. Only 5 people from your family can attend. If you have a big family, like I do, you must email the property management company a day before and get permission. The pool shuts down twice a day for 30 minutes so the monitor can have his lunch break. I mean, bondage. You know, you see it. And, you know, I tell people, we got into it on my little community private group page, and with the board, we finally replaced a board member with a pro pool opener. But like I mentioned, small actions. I don't want to fly to Kenya and dig a well, as important and fulfilling as that probably would be. I want to fix my own house, my own cul-de-sac, my own street, my own neighborhood first. We let these things spiral out of control. So, you know, people ask, how did the Holocaust happen? How I wouldn't have been one of them. I wouldn't have gone along. Yes, statistically, you probably would have. So if you're not putting your foot down, if you're not at least questioning the conversation, the so-called facts, if you're not switching and following alternate news channels, if you don't follow the political party that you are against, if you don't follow those candidates to at least understand what they say. There's a part in here in the book, I don't know if I can find it here as I do the recording, but you know, it's the old argument of to win an argument, you must be able to articulate your opposition's viewpoint and talking points better than they can. Not only will you feel understood, you'll probably win the point that you're trying to make. That may be a sale, right? Maybe a marketing campaign. It may be a political race. Maybe you talk your way out of a speeding ticket. So stop throwing everyone under the bus. You know, seek to understand. It doesn't mean you like them. You know, and I played football for many years into college. I mean, we watched game film of the opponent. We wanted to see what were their tells, right? So we could take advantage of those, leverage those weak spots so we could win. We didn't ignore them. Study your opponent. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. You'll get a lot of clarity. You'll sleep better at night when you take the time to study them, okay? And study them in this light of a societal change. And as you do that, things will start to make more sense. When they make more sense, you'll know how to take advantage of the situation in business and in life things just get a whole lot better for you. Now, as usual, when I go through book reviews like this, requires some bouncing around. You know, I don't think legally I could read the whole book. I don't have time. Anyway, I want you to buy the book. Do your own thinking if it is of interest to you. But at a minimum, I want to get you thinking. But, you know, in the book, he outlines, you know, what happens when we take a thing too far. So I kind of touched on it a little bit of where we're headed as we approach this zenith of the we, right? Duty, obligation, sacrifice. But it's also regimentation, self-righteousness, oppressiveness, which I already kind of touched on. It's interesting that this, you know, COVID happens during, as we reach the pinnacle, the zenith of a we. And you know what? Maybe if COVID had happened in 1981, probably wouldn't have reacted like this at all. So it's, you know, some interesting dynamics. But, you know, as we approach the zenith of a me, so 81, 82, 83, you know, again, it spills over 84, 85. Hollowness, posing, phoniness, self-centeredness, guru worship, depravity. We certainly saw that, right, you know, in the 80s. So, again, I bring these up just to help you have some vantage points to analyze all of this. And to decide, you know, hey, is this guy on to something or not? And like I said, I think they are. I think Roy and Michael are really on to something. But, you know, but again, we take things too far. As we kill off our heroes, is that a good thing or a bad thing? You know, well, I'm just rejecting, you know, artificiality and hype. All right, maybe, you know, hey, I'm just keeping it real, man. All right. Is that a good thing or a bad, right? Everything in moderation. There's nothing new under the sun. So if somebody's banging a certain drum, even if you like the beat, you need to understand it won't last forever. Is it their own thought or are they just caught up with the tidal surge, or the, you know, the, as the water recedes, are they just going with the flow? And I think a lot of people do just go with the flow. So speaking of flow, you know, Roy pulls out the old, the yin and the yang. When you look at that symbol, it's a circle. It's like two commas, right? Like two curved teardrops, one black, one white. But in the middle of the white is black, and in the middle of the black is white. So, you know, in the calm, you have the chaos. In the chaos, you can find the calm. You know, liberalism and conservatism, positive and negative, risk and reward. We see it in everything. So regardless of what the flow is, you know, can you rise above it? How can you stand out and stand apart in the middle of that flow? You know, Isaac Newton, he quotes, you know, spoke of duality as, you know, for every action there is an equal but opposite reaction. And I love this quote from Roy. I've used this and remembered this for almost 20 years now. But he says, small minds will often cling to one and disparage the other. So speaking of the concept of duality, right? So you get one idea, you know, Trump is a pig. Biden is awesome. Fauci is super smart. Anyone against him isn't. You know, Cuomo's doing it right. DeSantis is an idiot. Really? Okay. Statements like that show that you have a small mind. And it's nice. You know, again, getting older. Not my monkey, not my circus. I don't have to engage in every battle. I don't have to take the bait every time. You know, I just made the bed. I'm going to let you sleep in it. And I will let you sleep in it. Then I'll live stream it, but I digress. He tells a story of when Albert Einstein was serving as the proctor for a university test on advanced theoretical physics, a student raised his hand and said, "Sir, I think there's been a mistake. This is the same test we were given last year." And Albert replied, "Yes, the test is the same as last year. But this year, the answers are different. Now, I don't know when that was, but obviously after E equals MC squared, I bet a lot of answers to tests changed. You could give the same test and it's like, uh-oh, things have changed. He quotes Niels Bohr. He was a physicist, winner of the Nobel Prize for Physics in 1922 for his contributions that were essential to our modern understanding of atomic structure and quantum mechanics, the building blocks of reality. But the quote is, the opposite of a correct statement is a false statement, but the opposite of a profound truth may well be another profound truth. Crazy, right? That's when you got to get into quantum mechanics and, you know, is light a wave or is it a particle? And since it's both, it really can't be, but they are. So what the heck's going on? But I digress. But the main thing is understand, you know, again, things are predictable, but inside of the predictability, you'll find counterintuitive contraindicators. How are you going to use it? But first, you need to understand where the heck you are and where you're going, at least where society's going, because like, you know, Gretzky, you know, skate to where the puck is going. If you know where society is going and what is propelling and compelling them, you can get ahead of the curve. You can jump ahead to where the puck is going. Meet them there. I don't know if I'll have time to get into, you know, the push versus pull marketing, but we are very much in the pull marketing phase of business and of life. You got to get ahead of them and invite them with open arms. Hey, I've been waiting for you. I'll leave a light on for you. Come on in. Kick your shoes off. Sit a spell. That's where I think the power of this book can come in for you. So in the book, you know, he gets into these alpha voices and the 6-year transitory window. I won't get into that right now. I've got an event to go to at church, so I will leave that up to you to dig into. He gets into the limits of predictability, and there are limits. None of this is perfect. Again, there's going to be variations, okay, but it's still pretty damn accurate. He goes back, you know, 1923 to 1933. Laying the groundwork, okay, helping you understand and see. And he gives good examples of these alpha voices. And these alpha voices are, they're singers, they're entertainers, they're actors, they're novels, okay, you know, authors. So they start to, you know, that canary in the coal mine, that one sparrow does not a spring make, but, you know, as you become attuned to looking for them, you'll get little glimpses. You'll see somebody standing out, making waves. You're like, what does that mean? So again, as we reach this peak of the we, are you going to start seeing some alpha voices indicating that it's peaked and it's now going to start diminishing as it accelerates towards the me. But, you know, just good examples from 1924, 25, 26, 27. So, I mean, just literally year by year going back almost a century. And he goes back even farther and gives some good examples of the Crusades and the Salem witch hunts. And it's weird. It's weird. Then again, it's not weird because nothing new under the sun. But it's kind of weird seeing this unfold going back hundreds and hundreds of years. Heck, he even shows, you know, pendulum in the Bible. And I kind of mentioned it already with Ecclesiastes, but, you know, it's well documented. It goes way back. But something towards the end of the book that I found interesting was McDonald's. McDonald's slogans from 1960 to 2008. So it'd be interesting to break that down and see what they're doing now. But you can see how accurate this is, right? 1960, all-American menu, a hamburger, fries, and a shake. 1961, look for the golden arches. 1962, go for the goodness at McDonald's. 1963, the year 1963 is the tipping point into me. So it's the bottom, right? So 1943 was the peak of the we, the greatest generation. We're all in this together. It goes down. It's now at the 6 o'clock point, if you will, on a clock. So it's so the early adopters are embracing the perspective, but the 6-year transitory window is only just beginning. So by 1965, McDonald's, where quality starts fresh every day. 1966, McDonald's, the closest thing to home. Notice what happens as we approach the end of the 6-year transitory window into me and ride the pendulum to its zenith of 1983. So 1967, McDonald's is your kind of place. It's such a happy place. You deserve a break today. 1971, that lasted for 4 years. 75, we do it all for you. 76, you're the one. 81, you deserve a break today. So it's reintroduced, right, from 71. 83, McDonald's and you. That continues until 1991. So he says, now that we're 8 years beyond the zenith of me, and our self-obsession has begun to diminish a bit, let's see what happens next. So 1991, food, folks, and fun. 95, have you had your break today? Right? It's different than you deserve a break today. Did somebody say McDonald's? 1997. 2000, we love to see you smile. 2002, there's a little McDonald's in everyone. 2003, I'm loving it. This is the end of the me. 2008 now, what we're made of. Interesting, huh? So in the we, you know, it's, cut the crap and give it to me straight. It's pull, it's positive attraction, selling is seduction, authenticity, reality and truth, steak. The me, you're selling hope, and I'm buying it like it's crack cocaine. Push, overcoming objections, selling is combat, self-confidence and belief, advertising specials, sizzle. So, since we're in the we era, right, pull them towards you, the positive attraction. I've said for many years, you know, I hate selling. I hate overcoming objections and the old school alternative of choice closes. And I mean, the tie down, ugh, give me a break. I think I was authentic before I knew that was a selling angle, a gambit. Because you see it too often. People, they try to be authentic. They try so much, they become a caricature of themselves. Authentic and transparent. I mean, it's just too much. Okay, but that's where we are now. We're going to be there for a while. So don't push. Don't shove. Don't force it. You know, the overcoming objections, it's very much like jiu-jitsu, man. I mean, the more, you know, I fight these young bucks, I don't fight them. They're strong. I let them push me around, and I roll with it. You know, they push my head as I fall back. I hook my feet into the back of their legs. I'll hook one in the back of one leg. I'll put one foot in one of their hips. Maybe as they try to attack, boom, I can get them off center, use their own momentum against them. You know, so keeping it real, dog. But, you know, look at what the most popular genre of television for decades now, for 2 decades easily, has been reality television. You know, Survivor and Big Brother and Bachelor and all these shows. Although now, it's like very few of them are truly authentic. And you see them get burned. The more we find out how scripted they are, some of them are losing their popularity. So an interesting world, and it's a tangled web we weave, is it not? So I'll leave you with this. You know, he talks about here towards the end of the book, because it's leading up into their predictions for as the zenith peaks of the we. But you know, it's a long time. It can easily be 20 years coming from, you know, the bottom up to, let's call it, the 3 o'clock position of the zenith of the weed and back down. He calls them, you know, it's the time of witch hunts and transparency, authenticity. I'm okay. You're not okay. It's the 20-year season of holy wars, us versus them, we, the good and the righteous defenders of truth and beauty, against them, the evil and sinister malefactors intent on destroying our way of life. That is true from the Republicans and the Democrats. It's true everywhere you look. It's us versus them. And it's not on accident, okay? Because Roy talks about this. Here's the payoff. The easiest people in the world to manipulate are those who are focused on a single issue. Be forcefully against whatever they're against, and you can lead them around like a tame calf on a rope. You can't have insiders without outsiders. Okay? So it's no longer what you include and what you stand for. Now it's a function of exclusion. Who do you exclude? What do you stand against? Yes, marketing becomes very easy as we approach the zenith of the we. Just choose what and who you will demonize and then start tossing fear-soaked words as though they were long-neck beer bottles full of gasoline with fiery rags stuffed down their throats. It's Machiavellian, we know, but it's true nonetheless. We wish we could bring you happier news, but the simple truth is this. Unless we begin working together to soften this coming trend of I'm okay, you're not okay, we're about to enter the ugliest 20 years of the pendulum's 80-year round trip. So Roy was writing this, like I said, 2010, 2011, published 2012. And he is right. Okay. To counteract the coming trend, listen with your whole heart and try not to interrupt. Be capable of articulating calmly how the other side sees it. And I'll let you read the nuances of that. It's on page 186. It's great getting books that have predictions, getting them 10 years later, because you can see how right they were or not, right? Because I'm telling you, these guys are pretty damn right. It would behoove you to get it. Like I said, if you need the Cliff's Notes version, if you want me to help you shorten that learning curve and not only learn it, but apply it. I've been doing that for a long time. Hit me up, okay? TheSalesWhisperer.com. Go to contact us. I will help you. I'm helping a Vancouver contractor right now. And I just got feedback on Monday, actually, during the holiday, from Ellen. Just finished my 6-week Gorillas of Growth course. She's been selling software for 2 years. Last week said she sold 3, the most she ever sold in a week in her 2 years of in the business. So if you want to pick up your sales, I'm the guy. Hit me up, thesaleswhisperer.com. All right? Or join us in the Sell More of Everything program. I'm going to raise the price this summer. I'm probably going to take it to an annual instead of a monthly. So if you want to jump in, save a little money, and have a month-to-month option, avail yourself of that now. Sellmoreofeverything.com. Thanks for listening. I'll go sell something.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.